Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Oh, yeah, I caught you off guard. Let's try that one more time. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Good, good. We got a great morning this morning. A lot of good, exciting things. A couple of announcements real quick. We are going to have a fast, church-wide fast in January 9th. We're going to go for 3 weeks. And we're going to do fruit and vegetables. You can drink them or eat them. Again, this is optional, whatever you want to do. Don't feel obligated. Don't feel pressured. Really, really don't feel pressured. But we will encourage you. We do want you all to do it. I want you to pray about it, though. The reason I want to tell you now is I want you to start praying about it. You may choose to fast television. You may choose to fast food. You may choose to do both. There's a lot of things you can cut out of your life. But fasting and denying yourself of something like that is a very unique, one-of-a-kind opportunity to draw close to God like nothing else before. So you don't have any health problems and you can fast, I want to challenge you to really begin to pray about that now. I guarantee that your life will be transformed during that time. It's an unbelievable experience. So just be praying about that and preparing yourself and get books on it. You go to a bookstore. We'll have some books here for you also, but go to a Christian bookstore and get some books, tapes on fasting, go on the internet, do some research. I promise you to be once in a lifetime. The other thing is that this Friday we're having an outreach, National City Toys for Joy, and we usually give out 1,500 toys to children down in National City. We are running short on toys. If you can bring a toy to the office or this week, or we'll pick it up, call the office, and we'll come pick it up from your house. We need hundreds of toys. And so go pick up a toy, $10, $15 toy. There's kids down there. Buy a bicycle if you want. But we're going to give the people line up around the corner every year for 8 years now. And it's very sad, but very encouraging to bless them. But it's very sad to see parents stand out there all day. They start in the morning, stand out there all day, wait for the evening event. And we want to be able to have toys for those children. We also give trees and food and all kind of stuff. So appreciate you coming out and supporting and being part of it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for what's going to happen today. Thank you for what you're going to teach us. And we pray that people would understand. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. I went shopping yesterday to buy some running shoes. And so I had to go because they had to go on my feet, so I had to be there. I would send someone else to shop. I don't like going shopping. So I figure I'd go in and tell the guy, and not even tell the guy, just look on the rack and say, can I have those and leave? So I went in there, and I'm looking on the rack, and there's like 9,000 different kind of shoes and all the science behind shoes. Well, before they just put some tape on your feet and run on the street. This guy walks up to me and says, can I help you? And I'm thinking, not really. I just want to get out and just give me a pair of shoes. 90 minutes later, I'm sitting there with 7 pairs of shoes all over the floor. And I had to get an education on what kind of shoes to get, what size to get. I didn't know what you're supposed to. I've been wearing 11.5s and 12s. I walked out of there with 14s. He says, you've been wearing too small of shoes all your life. And I was like, oh, how do you tell? He says, you're supposed to be able to put your thumb in between your front of your toe, big toe, and the end of the shoe. I was like, it's too big. And now your feet swell when you run and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't know all this stuff. So we're going through all this, and he's giving me shoes and walking away and coming back, giving me shoes, walking away. And I'm sitting there with all these shoes thinking, I don't want to be here. And then I had to wear them and jog through the thing and see if they feel comfortable. And so at the very end, he says, I go, what do I do? He says, it's up to you. You just choose. It's your choice. It's like, if you'd have told me that 1.5 hours ago, I'd have been gone. But it was my choice, and I ended up buying 2, so I didn't have to come back in 6 months to get it to do it again. In the book of Exodus, God delivers the Jews from slavery through supernatural signs and wonders. They walk, they go to Mount Sinai. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. God gives Moses the design of the tabernacle. Then God chooses a very specific segment of his people to serve in his tabernacle. Not anybody can serve in the tabernacle. Not anybody can go into the presence of God. God chose a very specific group, and everyone else was excluded. Look in your notes. The chapter, right in your notes at the top of your lesson plan, it says 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Let me read again. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. What we're going to look at tonight is we're going to learn three aspects of this group of people that God chose out of the nation of Israel to serve him. And we're going to look at three characteristics of this group that God chose specifically for him. And we're going to see that God applies, those principles apply to all of us. Because God has given every single one of us the opportunity to stand before him. In the Jewish community, it was only a very specific group of people that were his priests. In the Christian community, God makes that available to all of us. Now, we saw last week with the design of the tabernacle that when God gave the design of the tabernacle to Moses, he was warning him and giving him a foreshadow and a lesson of what he would do in the future with Jesus Christ. I don't want to get too much into that. You can get the tape from last week. But what he was doing when he designed it, he was pointing towards what Christ would fulfill 1,400 years later. Same thing with the priesthood. He said, I'm going to choose these specific group of people to do these specific things, and the qualifications of them are going to be very specific, and that is a foreshadow of the Christian who would be a priest unto me. A priest is simply a bridge builder. A priest is someone who stands between two people who are at odds with each other, and he builds a bridge between them. Christ is the great high priest. Here you have God the Father. Here you have the sinner. Christ the priest comes in the middle and says, I want to be a bridge builder. The Latin word is pontifex. It means bridge builder. I'm going to connect you two together. When you accept Christ as your Savior, guess what? You become a priest. You become someone who is a representative, a mediator between God and people. You are the one who can read the law, the Bible, explain the law, the Bible, live the Bible, and reveal God's praises to people who don't know him. That's your role. You're not someone that just comes to church on Sunday. You are a walking Bible. By the way, some people who never read the Bible, they'll watch your life. And they'll watch your life long before they read this book. You are the only Bible some people ever read, is your life. What are they reading? Hypocrisy? I was talking to a guy the other day, witnessed to a guy the other day, and we were out in the field just yelling at each other. Not because we were mad, we just talk loud. And he's yelling at me, and I'm yelling at him, and he's just that kind of person. So, you know, I can yell with the best of them. So we were yelling back and forth. And he says, I don't go to church because there's so many hypocrites in church. I says, of course that's where hypocrites are supposed to be. Because that's where hypocrites get transformed. But what people do have nothing to do with who Jesus is. And you have obligations to Christ. Now, we shouldn't be hypocrites, by the way. There's no excuse to be a hypocrite. But the point is that how people live is going to shape how non-Christians look at Christ. They're going to look at Christ through you. So look at our notes. Let's look at Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29. We have a special guest here this morning, so I want to get to that part because I'm real excited to bring our special rabbi guest out. Chapter 29. Actually, let's turn to chapter 28. I like that better. Verse 1. It says, now take Aaron your brother, Aaron is Moses' brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. Look in your notes. The priests were chosen by God, and God chose only the sons of Aaron, the son of Levi, to serve as priests. 138 times in the Bible it refers to Aaron and his sons. Now, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Had how many sons? One of those sons was Levi. And God said to Moses, only the sons of Levi can serve in the tabernacle. What they did is there was a group of sons that did the music, another group of sons that set stuff up, another group of sons that carried a certain holy articles, another group of sons set the tent up and the outer court, and they would carry it, break it down, set it up. There were certain families that had certain duties in the tabernacle. All were the sons of Levi. They're called the Levites. The book of Leviticus tells them what to do. That's where that comes from. Now, of the sons of Levi, and there were many sons, there was one son called Aaron. Aaron, Moses' brother. Only Aaron and his sons could be the priests, and the priests were the ones who actually went into the holy place and did the religious ceremony, explained the law, went into Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. Only the sons of Aaron, who was a son of Levi, could actually go in and perform the religious service. So it'd be like today saying, okay, only the sons of, only if your last name is Smith, can you serve in the temple, and only the sons of John Smith can actually come up on the pulpit. That's how it was. Now today, it's not that way. Today, Christ says, anybody can come who accepts him as their Savior. Anybody. Look in your notes. It says, if you choose, let me see, did I do that? I messed this up for a service. Yes. Choose to be available to God and find yourself chosen by God. See, you have an opportunity to choose God. Even though in the Old Testament God chose the Levites, today you have an opportunity to choose God. Now, the Bible says that we are predestined to salvation. What does that mean? That does not mean that God says, you are going to be saved, and you are not going to be saved by my decision. It's impossible for us to understand how God has given us free will and predestined us at the same time. What does that mean? That God knows what we're going to do. But you still have a free choice. How does those two things work together? Just choose. Don't worry about his part. I'll give you an example. Every single one of you have the freedom to choose to do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. And what I'm going to get ready to tell you to do in a minute, I'm going to tell you or ask you to raise your hand. Now, you have a choice. You can raise your hand, or you can sit there with the attitude and leave it on your lap. I'm not saying you have to have attitude. You just don't want to lift your hand up. So right now, I'm going to ask you, lift your hand. Now, some of you might not have done that. You might say, yeah, I got an attitude. I'm not lifting my hand. I don't even know who you are. You're telling me I got an attitude. That's fine. That's fine. You have that choice. God knew you were going to do that. Did he make you do that? No. You decided to do that. And some people are going to say, I want salvation. Other people are going to say, no, I ain't going to ask Christ to be my Savior. And those people are going to spend eternity without God. Now, I'm not saying if you didn't raise your hand, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. But just as you made a conscious choice for whatever reason to not raise your hand, you will make a conscious choice to deny the salvation that Christ has provided for you. So let's try this again. Now, if you want to raise your hand, let's all raise your hand. Okay, good. Now all y'all are going to heaven now. You wish it was that easy, huh? It almost is. All you have to do is say, I know I'm a sinner. I know Christ died for me. I know he gives me an opportunity to choose him. How he has chosen me, what he's predestined my life, don't try to figure it out. You can't. I know that I have an opportunity to say, yes, God. Make the choice. In the Old Testament, God said, you. Now, all the people would be forgiven because of what the priest did, but they all couldn't serve. Today, we can all serve. Number two in your notes. It says the priests were set apart for special service. They were set apart for special service. Now, if you look at point number two, it says the priests were holy and set apart. The word holy simply means set apart. If you ever go to, when I was growing up in Catholic school, we had holy water. And you would go into the lobby of the Catholic church, at least we had a lobby. You had these big doors. It was like 20 feet tall, thick wood. It was amazing. Cobblestone. It was had this great holy feel to it. And you walk in, and before you walked into the church, you dip your hand in holy water and do that, and then walk in. I always thought my whole life growing up that there was something different chemically about that water than other water. And of course, you never drink it. You would glow. That's what I thought. I thought there was something different about this water. But the only reason it was holy is because they said, this water, we're going to pour in this thing, pray for it, and we're only going to use it in baptism or special things. And so we're going to set it aside for that purpose. It was still H2O, and you could have drank it, and there was nothing different about it than the water you get out of the tap. But the only reason that made it was holy is because they set it aside for a specific purpose. When you asked Christ to be your Savior, what you were telling God is not, God, don't send me to hell. You were saying, God, I am setting myself aside for your purpose. Here I am. I belong to you now. That's what being saved is. Now, many of you in here have asked Christ to be your Savior, but you have not set yourself aside as holy. You still belong to you. Your dreams belong to you. Your money belongs to you. Your time belongs to you. You think. It belongs to God, and God has graciously allowed you to hold on to it because he doesn't want to rip it out of your hand. He wants you to give it to him because you love him. But you haven't chosen to do that. So you're not holy, and some of you that have prayed to accept Christ, you might not be saved. Why? Because your prayer wasn't sincere. What does that mean? I don't want to go to hell. Okay, God, forgive me. So I go do my own thing. You weren't really comprehending what you were doing, and you weren't doing it with a sincere heart. Now, I can't decide who you are. I can just tell you that people can pray and not get it. It's an emotional thing. You don't know what you're doing. When you pray, you are saying, God, here I am. Take my life. And the whole process of your walking with Christ is you understanding what that means and practicing that in your life. Because some people get saved, right? Some people can get baptized, but their whole life doesn't get baptized. That's why we want to dunk people, because we want the water to cover their whole body, not just, you know, okay, dunk my leg. But I don't want my hand to get baptized. I don't want my eyes or my thoughts to get baptized. I just want to be holy right here. But I still want to sin with this hand. I still want to sin with my eyes. I still want to sin where I go, but I'm still saved. So I got one foot in heaven. Okay, I'm cool. So I can still over here. No. You got to be completely set apart. Completely set apart. When I was in, when I had, my wife had our first child. Well, I did not have the child. Thank God I didn't have that child. If men had to get pregnant, there'd be no children. We would not go through labor. We would just stop. This is not happening. My daughter was set apart for us. When you have your first child, as you know, you have a special love for that child like you never had before. It's your first experience, and you set that child apart for you. You protect that child with your life. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are saying, God, here I am. And in your mind and heart, you have to consecrate yourself and set yourself apart for God. Let's look in chapter 28. One of the ways God did that with the priests is he gave them special clothes. Look what it says in chapter 28, verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, to set him aside, to separate him, to distinguish him, that he may minister to me as priest. These are the garments which you shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. Look in your notes. Choose to be holy and find yourself being cleansed. Make a decision today. I want to be holy. I want to be set aside. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy. Don't try to be a good person only. Don't say, I'm going to be a good person. No, I'm going to be set aside. I belong to God all, completely. I'm not just going to try to do good things. I belong to him. Now, we have a special guest today who's going to demonstrate and show you these clothes that we just described. I mean, there's a whole lot of detail on what these things are, the ephod, the breastplate. But without getting into all that, we'd rather show it to you. So we have Rabbi Dan Abraham Stolenstein come in. Dan Abraham Stolenstein. Yes. Now, if we say who's the man, we say Jesus, say Yeshua. So if I say who's the man, say Yeshua. Who's the man? Okay, this is Dan Abraham Stolenstein from the Rockabim Temple of the Jewish Christians. If you're just a visitor, this is Dan. He's one of our pastors. But and that is his real beard, by the way. Right? Can you say ow?
Ow.
Okay. Very quickly. If you read in Exodus, you'll get all the details on all he has on. But instead of reading that to you, I'd rather show it to you. This is his hat, his turban, his mitre. This is white. And God wants our thoughts. He wants us to take our thoughts captive. He wants our thoughts to be pure and holy. He has a gold crown here. It's a sign of deity. God's gold is a sign of deity. Here you have an ephod. Does anybody have an ephod at home? Thank you. None of us do. And on his ephod, right here on his shoulders, he had two stones, onyx stones, and on each stone are written, engraved, the names of the tribes of Israel. They were 12. Six on this shoulder, six on this shoulder, because the priest bore the burden of his people. So he had the people on his shoulders. Now, Christ is the great high priest. The high priest was over all the other priests. So this guy was a symbolic of Jesus Christ. This guy, once a year, as we're going to see in a minute, went into the holy, holy place and asked for the forgiveness of all his people. Once every year, the great high priest did that. Christ did it once and for all. So this guy was a foreshadow of what Christ would do. The high priest would go into the temple and sprinkle the blood of an animal once a year. Christ went in and sprinkled his own blood. And the reason the high priest had to go every year is because the blood of an animal doesn't completely forgive. Christ's blood forgives completely because it's sinless. On and on and on. So this guy was representative of the people. He represented the people to God, but he also is a representative of what Christ would do in our life. Now this breastplate here, it's a breastplate of judgment. And if you see, there's 12 stones on here. Every stone is a different color. Let's walk over this side so we can see Rabbi. You see the stones on here, different colors. Hopefully he's still on the screen. And then you have every color. Every stone represented one of the tribes of Israel. There's 12. So he had the 12 names, six and six here, represented the burden he was going to carry. He was representing the people. This is the breastplate of judgment. He represented the people before God. So he was bringing the people before God, and these names are over his heart. Inside his little pocket, you had the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim, if you ever read the Bible, no one knows what these are. They think they're stones or somehow. And they would use these to seek and secure the will of God. God would speak to them through these things. They don't know how. They don't know what it was. It was secret. It was all in here. Okay, one of those mysterious things of the Bible. Then we see this is the ephod. Then you have the sash where Christ in the Last Supper, he had a robe around, he took his garment around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet. This is a symbol of this guy being a servant. Then you have his bells. You have a bell, if the camera can zoom in, you have a bell and then a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. So you had the bell represented the word of God and the pomegranate represented the fruit. The Bible says don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Bear fruit in your life. So this guy had the word and the fruit, the word and the fruit. You see he has white. This white robe here was a symbol of purity, as this is a symbol of purity. And finally, Rabbi has his bare feet. Can you zoom in on those crusty dogs? And if you see closely, there's some, I don't know if they can do that, we don't have the technology, but there's, you mind me talking about the crust? There's tan lines on his feet. I thought it was crust the first service, but he educated me that there are tan lines on his feet. So the rabbi's been in the presence of a holy God, but his sandals were blocking the glory, and so only part of his feet was tanned up, brother. And of course, the boyish smile and the beard is wisdom. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, last thing. When the rabbi would go in, he would have to go in, and this is not necessarily written in the Bible, this is kind of a Jewish tradition. When he would go into the holy place, if he messed up, he would die. So if he messed up, no one wanted to go in and get him. So what they did is they tied a rope around him, and he walked in. And those bells, if you heard the bell stop ringing, that meant he died. And nobody wanted to go in and get him because they would die. And so as long as you heard the bells ringing, he was cool. But if he died, you would take the rope and pull him out. That's what the rope is for. So we're going to see if he's going to die. Listen to the bells. He's dead. Now, would you want to go in there right now? No. So that's why they had the rope. They just pull him out. And then next year, the dude that would go in there, he was scared to death. Because if you did it wrong, you die. Christ went in to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, one time. See, every year, the high priest and Jewish community had to go in every year and sacrifice an animal for the people of all their sins. Every year. Why? Because the blood of bulls doesn't completely sacrifice. Every year, he would have to sacrifice a bull for his own sins first. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice for his own sins because he had no sin. So what God was showing us with the high priest and his role was he was showing us how incomplete the law is. And when Christ says, I came to fulfill the law, what he did is he came to take it to the next level. So he says, I don't have to go in every year. I don't have to sacrifice the blood of bulls. I sacrifice my own blood. I don't have to sacrifice for myself because I'm sinless. I don't have to be from the tribe of Levi. I don't come from a family. I have no father. I'm God eternal. I don't have a mother and father. I come from the order of Melchizedek. If you remember, Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. And remember, Melchizedek was this mysterious guy in the Bible who had no mother, no father, no lineage, no beginning, no end. Who is that guy? That's who Christ is. Let's look at your notes. I'm going to end with this. Number three. The priest alone entered the presence of God. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the most holy place. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. Now, if you remember last week, the tabernacle had three parts. It had the court, the outer court. It had the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was. He would go in one time a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, look in your notes, because this day, atonement is a tricky word. See in your notes where it says, at one ment. Does your Bible say that? I want you to think about this. I want you to think about a guy standing here and God standing here. And that guy is a sinner. And because he's a sinner, there's a dividing barrier between him and God. When you are a sinner and unforgiven, you are at enmity with God. You are at war with God because of your sin. And you are a sinner not because you are an evil, wicked person. You are a sinner because that's your condition. Just as you are a human, you can't change the fact that you are human. You are a sinner by nature. There's a war between you and God. God's a holy God. So there's no one-ment. Atonement is something you do to remove that wall and to establish one-ment. So the act of atonement, the act of making at one-ment, is that you can, if someone's mad at you, you can say sorry, one-ment. You can fix what you broke, one-ment. You can pay a price, one-ment. Jesus Christ went into the holy place, metaphorically, died to pay for our sin and remove that wall. To make opportunity for one-ment. That opportunity stands today. You have an opportunity to be one with God through your relationship, through being forgiven, through asking him to forgive you and cleanse you of your sin. But as I said in the beginning, that is a choice you can make. You could say, like you're raising your hand, I choose to take advantage of the opportunity for one-ment. I choose to take advantage of what the high priest has done for me. I choose to receive that forgiveness, or nope, I choose to do my own way. I'm going to climb over the wall. Can't, it's too high. I'm going to go below the wall. Nope, foundation is too low. Go around it, too wide. Go through it. Nope, can't go through it. Only Christ can move that barrier. And now, the fact that he's died, he's already destroyed the foundation of that barrier. He's already opened the door. You have to choose to walk through. And by saying, Jesus, I accept that I'm a sinner. I believe I'm a sinner. I accept that you died for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. And I receive your forgiveness. You have to choose to surrender your life to Christ. You have to choose to set yourself aside for God's purposes voluntarily. You have to choose that. He's not going to force that on you. Now, preachers get up there and they scream and yell like I'm screaming and yelling at you. Why? Because we want you to do it. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. Now, you're going to suffer. You're going to die without God. And after you die, you can't get over, can't get through the wall. No one can pray you over. It's not in the Bible. So we want to give you an opportunity today to say, I want to take advantage of what Christ has done. I want at one minute with God. And I want it today. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you, the great high priest, died for our sin. We thank you that you give us an opportunity for one minute with God, the Father. We thank you, Lord, that you paid the price once and for all completely with your blood, your sinless blood. And Lord, we pray that people this morning would take advantage of that opportunity to be one with you. If you realize right now that you are a sinner, that because of your sin, there's a wall dividing you and God, and you would like to experience one minute with God, you would like him to forgive you of your sin, you would like him to live in your heart, you would like to be one with God, you would like him to cleanse you, grant you eternal salvation once and for all. If those are your desires this morning, and by faith you believe he loves you, you believe these things to be true and possible, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart by faith. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you died for my sin and rose from the dead. And I believe that you have made available to me salvation. Please forgive me right now. Please cleanse me of all my sin. I surrender my life to you. I want to be holy, set aside for your purpose today. Thank you, God. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying today, right now, God, here I am. I surrender my life to you. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging God's forgiveness in your life. You are acknowledging his love for you. You are acknowledging the fact that now you belong to him and you have voluntarily surrendered your life to him. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer right now, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge your faith in him this morning. Just stand here. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing, please. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, too. Very good. You also. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God bless you, too. We see you. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. Very good. Stay standing, please. Very good. Today you're saying, Lord, here I am. I now belong to you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. God bless you. Very good. We see you. God bless you. Anybody else? Now we're going to ask all you who are standing and anybody else who wants to stand to do one more thing. When you give your life to Christ, you are saying, Lord, here I am. I belong to you. Everything I am, everything I was, everything I'm going to be. God bless you. We see you. And right now, as we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to do one more thing. As we welcome them, as we encourage them, we're going to ask all you who are standing to come step out of the seat and come on down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Come right on down here. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. Amen. Who's the man this morning? God bless you. Say hi to her. Amen. Good. God bless you. Say hi to that lady right there. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. All right, man. What's up, man? The Bible says that if you confess, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse. God has forgotten everything you've ever done. I know it's hard for us to forget. We can't forget. God has, because he chooses to, and he can, and he wants to. to transform your life. And the only thing you got to do is trust him. Do what he says. The definition of loving God is obeying God. And from this point forward, you can say, Lord, here I am. I belong to you now. What do you want me to do? That's it. Simple. Let's pray for them, and then we're going to walk you guys out. And I'm going to ask all y'all over here, if y'all can just let them get through this aisle before you start leaving. Lord, we thank you for these people. Thank you for their courage and their faith. And we pray you bless them this morning. And we pray you radically transform their life. And I pray, Lord, that we would know you are our great high priest. You have already done it. You've opened the door for us to walk and to be in the presence of God the Father. I pray we would take advantage. I also pray we realize we are holy, set apart. We don't belong to ourselves. And everything we have doesn't belong to us. Please help us to see that and understand that and live that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask all you to walk that way. Just walk that way to that guy right there. Follow him.